Well, welcome everyone. In honor of the occasion, I wear my Easter Hawaiian shirt, and it's getting warmer outside. It's a good time. So, not surprisingly, we're going to think about the resurrection this morning, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection surely is the defining mark of Christianity. You know, there have been lots of religions with lots of religious leaders. They're all dead, and they're all staying dead, except for, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. When the early Christians spread the gospel, and we have a record of it through the book of Acts, the one topic that was mentioned in every gospel message is the resurrection. Interestingly, you can find gospel messages in the book of Acts that don't mention the death of Christ, but you cannot find one that doesn't mention the resurrection of Christ, which obviously assumes the death of Christ. But the point is that that's a good thing for us to remember, because I think a lot of times we think that once we've talked about Christ dying on the cross, that's the gospel message. And I think we find in the scriptures that the early church had an emphasis not just on the death of Christ, but also on his resurrection. Because if Christ didn't rise from the dead, the scripture would say, we're of all men most miserable. We're the most to be pitied. We would have nothing. That the death of Christ, of course, is essential in providing salvation, but so is his resurrection. And so we want to think of that a little bit this morning. If we read in the book of Acts in chapter 4, you'll see that just some examples of how this was a staple of their preaching. Acts 4:32, the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. In Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, verse 18. And also, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him, and some were saying, what would this idle babbler wish to say? Others, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. So this is talking about Paul's preaching, but we read earlier of the characteristic preaching of the New Testament church. And that was their message, was that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. People knew he had died. That wasn't something that many people were unaware of. But the thing that was truly remarkable was that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. When they wanted an apostle to replace Judas, his role was described in this way, that he should be a witness with us of his resurrection. And so we see that this message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, right from the very start, was absolutely essential to the early church. Now, if you're interested, there are somewhere between 14 and 16 resurrections mentioned in the Bible. Depends whether or not Old Testaments, when they're raised, if they're raised with the tribulation saints or not, and it depends whether or not any believers at all die in the millennium. But interestingly, the seventh resurrection in the Bible is Christ's resurrection, because it's the key one, it's the most important one, and all the other ones were either pictures or consequences of his resurrection. And I would like to, as mentioned, as you, there are all kinds of topics that we would be able to consider about the resurrection. What I want to think about this morning is what the resurrection proves. And there have been endless Easter messages given about the resurrection with endless topics. So we'll never run out of things we could talk about concerning the resurrection. But what I'd like to consider this morning is some of the things that the resurrection proves. And as always, this won't be a complete list. You'll be able to add some more, but I have a list, and I won't tell you how many items are on the list. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the remembrance of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the fact that he rose from the dead. And even here on the other side of the world, 2,000 years later, we remember that. and we've been changed by it, Lord. And we thank you for the glorious truth of the risen Christ. And we ask for your help now as we look into the scriptures. We would just pause and ask that you would just calm our hearts and our minds and our spirits and help us to be prepared to take in the word of God. We want today to be built up spiritually by your spirit, taking the word of God and applying it in our lives. And we all need it, and we all need it in different ways. And there's lots of struggles and trials and heartache and needs. And Father, we just pray that through what we read in the scriptures this morning and through the gracious work of your Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus would be just raised up before us, that we would be taken up with him, that we might be built up and helped in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things we learn, one of the things the resurrection proves, is that the word of God is true. The early believers, of course, didn't have a written New Testament that was still in the process of being revealed, and it would be a long time, it would be many years, before all of the books were given, and before, in, then longer still, before they were collected and copied and distributed. But they did have the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. And we can read in the book of Acts repeatedly of how it quotes the Old Testament. It quotes Psalm 16 a number of times to show that this idea that the Messiah would come and that the Messiah would die, but the Messiah wouldn't stay dead, was scriptural. It wasn't a made-up idea by early Christians. It was something that anybody with an Old Testament should have been expected to come. Expecting to happen. It says in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have